Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At many jobs, maybe once or twice a year, there's a day that most employees dread. There you are, called into your boss's office. Across from you sits your manager and maybe one or two other evaluators. It's time for your annual review. It's time to see how your work has gone for the last year or so, to take a look at your accomplishments and achievements, to see how you're measuring up. Maybe you've experienced this yourself. If you work in accounting, you take a look at the numbers to make sure that everything is clean and neat and orderly. If you work in sales, you look at your conversion rate to see how well you're selling the products. Or if you're in manufacturing, your efficiency, how well you're getting your job done. But today, let's take this review, this evaluation, out of the office. And let's change the seats around, too. You and I are going to be the evaluators. And the office is outside. There in a meadow or a pasture or just outside of a barn, shepherds are coming for their review. What would you want to evaluate? Would you want to see how well the shepherd cares for the sheep? Is he gentle and caring? Does he address the wounds of the sheep, or is he rough with the animals? Perhaps you'd want to see how he works with the shears. Is he good at getting all of the wool off the animals efficiently, while still remembering that there is a sheep under that mass of wool? Or perhaps you'd want to see his leadership skills, how he brings the flock out and leads them back in, not leaving any sheep behind. A good shepherd would have all of these qualities and more. Often Scripture loves to present a picture of God's people as a flock, as sheep. And this picture makes sense for you and I. As people of faith, we listen, we follow. And God loves to paint a picture of himself as a shepherd. And today, as you and I look at our good shepherd, as fellow sheep, I want to take a moment to evaluate. What is it that actually makes our shepherd good? In John chapter 10, Jesus uses this picture of a shepherd and his flock once again. This picture would have been familiar to the people that Jesus was talking to. They had shepherds in their land, and sheep could be seen along the roadside. Perhaps his listeners even remembered stories from the Old Testament, ones that are familiar to you too. Like King David, a shepherd boy who became king, or another beloved section of Scripture by King David, Psalm 23, that we just sang together, where we hear about the Lord as a kind and compassionate shepherd who leads his people to good things, to good waters, to green pastures. But God isn't the only one called a shepherd in his word. We heard this in our reading from Acts today as Paul appoints shepherds or overseers to lead the flock of God. We even see this picture today too as we call a spiritual leader a pastor, one who leads his flock. Even though we don't see shepherds and sheep as often now, we can still see what Jesus is doing here. So, who are the shepherds that Jesus points us to in this section of Scripture? First, he tells us about a group of people who aren't shepherds, actually. But since they're leading the sheep, let's take a look at how they're doing their jobs. First, Jesus points us to the hired hand. What does Jesus tell us about them? He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. Unlike the shepherd who's more invested in the sheep, they belong to him. This hired hand doesn't own the sheep in the pasture. And notice how this colors everything about the way that he treats these sheep. Maybe you'd think to yourself, if the sheep didn't belong to you, well, now I better be extra careful about how I treat these sheep. But that isn't the case with the hired hand. Instead, when he sees danger coming, he deserts them. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. In his mind, what happens to the flock is not all that important. His life is certainly not worth losing for these sheep who belong to someone else. So he deserts them. So what would the performance review look like for this type of leader of the sheep? Not so good, right? He doesn't keep the sheep from danger. He allows enemies to get to them, and he abandons the sheep. Not all those who seek to lead the flock of God want to do it in the way that God desires. The sad truth is that there are some who want to lead who don't have the interest of the flock in mind, to lead as God has designed, to be good shepherds. And when this is the case, it's devastating for the flock. See what happens to these sheep next. The wolf then attacks the flock and scatters it. Without a good shepherd, the sheep are susceptible to danger. Wolves. Things which want to scatter and scare and destroy this flock. There are true and real spiritual dangers that you and I face as a part of this flock. Dangers that we face along the path of life. Wolves. Things that want to destroy us. Wolves that are familiar to you too. A wolf like false teaching that tries to impersonate the voice of the shepherd to lead you away from the truth of Scripture. Or a wolf that looks like the pressure of sin that first tries to draw you away from the flock by telling you that what it offers in sin is good. And then after trapping you in that sin, tells you another lie. That the shepherd will never be able to find you again. And one more enemy of the flock who reminds us of a wolf more than the others, our enemy Satan, who watches and waits for a moment to attack the flock and scatter the sheep. Afraid and alone, as sheep, these dangers are too much for us to face on our own. But what would it look like if we had a shepherd who checked all of the boxes? As you sit down to evaluate this shepherd, you can't help but notice that he does everything right. He leads the sheep lovingly. He defends them from danger. He even cares for their needs. Wouldn't you want to be a part of that flock? And this is what you have in your good shepherd, Jesus. A shepherd who gives you all these things and more. Because all these things would make any ordinary shepherd good, the way that a shepherd cares for sheep. But none of this is what makes our shepherd good. It isn't the primary reason he's called good at all. Notice how Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The shepherd instead gives something strange. What makes him good isn't the way he cares for or handles the sheep. Instead, what makes him good is that he dies. Like a refrain popping up over and over again in this description of the Good Shepherd, the very best thing about him is that he gives his life. But if you were evaluating a shepherd, you wouldn't actually expect him to do this for sheep, right? I mean, come on. They're only sheep after all, right? It's not worth his life. And think about it, a shepherd has countless sheep. What's one or two here or there? I mean, the sheep are expendable, right? Not so with your good shepherd, Jesus. For him, the flock is his greatest possession. And he proves that to you with what he gives. The greatest thing he can give, his very life, in exchange for the lives of the sheep. Through his death, he proves that the flock is his greatest possession. He gives something that only he can give. And in his life, he gives a gift that no one takes from him, but he gives freely. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. In his love, he lays this down for you. It seems strange. A shepherd dying for his sheep, but this is the very thing that the flock needs. Through the death of the shepherd, the sheep are saved from the dangers of sin. And through the death of the shepherd, the sheep are redeemed, brought back into the presence of our Heavenly Father to dwell in those green pastures forever. But with Easter, we celebrate a shepherd who not only lays down his life for the sheep, but takes it up again. A shepherd who lives. And with this life, in our Savior's resurrection, we have even more proof of how good a shepherd he is. In the resurrection, see God's stamp of approval on the work of this shepherd, that his payment, his life given for these sheep, has paid the price for their sins. See this exemplary mark from God, that his death has redeemed the sheep from all danger. Jesus gives you all of this. This is what makes your shepherd good. Imagine walking through the pasture with this good shepherd. You've already been impressed by so many things about him. The way he handles the sheep and cares for them, that he even gave his life for the sheep. Walking with him, you can't help but notice the thousands and thousands and thousands of sheep in the pasture. A question crosses your mind that you don't think he'll actually be able to answer, but you decide to ask it anyway. Good shepherd, how many sheep do you think you have? If you or I had more than 100 sheep, we'd start to lose count. Surprisingly, the good shepherd smiles and answers. Well, I could tell you exactly how many sheep I have, but let me do something else for you instead. How about I introduce you to each and every one of these sheep? Walking along with the shepherd, he brings you to a sheep and says, "This is a sheep named Mary. I've known Mary for a long time. I remember days when Mary thought that she was lost and alone and apart from the flock. But what Mary didn't know then is that her shepherd knew where she was in those days too." Walking along, you see another sheep. And the shepherd says, "This sheep is David. David suffered in his health for a long time. But I brought healing to David, and in those days I reminded him of these green pastures." Walking up to one more sheep, he says, "This sheep is Phyllis. Phyllis worries about what the paths of life will hold and what lies in the future. So I bring her to the refreshing waters of my word again and again and remind her of who holds the future, her caring and loving shepherd. One by one by one, sheep after sheep, name after name, he introduces each one to you. Wouldn't you want a shepherd like this? This is the flock that you are a part of, with a shepherd who says, I know my sheep. Maybe you, like me, when you hear those words, start to make them less personal right away, thinking, oh, yes, of course, Jesus knows me like he knows my name on a long list of names. He has all these sheep, so he knows each one and what their name is, right? And yes, this is true. Jesus does know your name, but his knowledge of you and his love for you is so much deeper than that. He knows each sheep and their fears and their needs and their worries. He knows his sheep in an incomparable way. Well, actually, there is one thing that Jesus compares to how well he knows his sheep. He says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is compared to the relationship between the Father and the Son. As deep and as extraordinary as the relationship of our triune God is with himself, is how well your shepherd knows you. This is the same way that your shepherd knows you when you feel like you are lost and apart from the flock. When you fear the future, when you think that you are suffering and alone. This is what makes your shepherd good. That this shepherd knows you. And that you know this shepherd. How do you know if you know someone well enough? Perhaps if you know a person's middle name or you can recite their address, then you might know them well enough. Or those quirks about them or their hidden talents. But maybe you've noticed that the more you get to know someone, or the more time you spend with them, the more you learn about them. Even spouses of many years continue to learn things about one another as they spend time together. How do you know if you know your shepherd well enough? Some of you have perhaps known your shepherd for many years, others of you for just a few months. Maybe you're able to recite your favorite section of scripture, or you've even read his book from cover to cover. Maybe you even remember a time when you felt close to this shepherd or further away. But like any relationship, the truth is that you will keep learning more about your shepherd every time that you encounter him. Like when you encounter your shepherd in his word, in personal Bible study, or when you read God's word to your children, or when you see your shepherd's love as his word is read in worship, or you share his words with someone else. Maybe you've even seen how this shepherd has shown his goodness to you. But as you travel with this shepherd on this side of heaven, keep searching to see how he's good to you. He wants you to see this. Because maybe, just maybe, as you sit and evaluate what makes your shepherd so good, you just might see that his goodness never ends. Amen.